We take you now to a very tense Middle East. The deaths of three Israeli teenage hikers last month, their attackers unknown, but in a crime officially blamed on followers of the Hamas organization, have been answered with a vigilante-styled killing of a Palestinian teenager. Six Jewish males have been arrested in the case, and three of them have confessed to the crime of burning the 16-year-old Palestinian alive near his home in East Jerusalem last week and dumping him in a nearby forest. On Sunday, Tariq Kadir, a cousin of the murdered teen who lives in Florida and was visiting Palestine on a summer vacation, was released from jail after being beaten to the point of unconsciousness by Israeli border police officers for allegedly throwing stones at them. The beating was caught on videotape. Tariq Kadir denies he was involved in any protest. Two views on the tensions from all of this. First, Mark Regev, spokesman for the Israeli government. Earlier, I asked Mr. Regev for his reaction to the apparent beating of Tariq Kadir by the Israeli border police.
Well, thankfully, Israel is a country where there's rule of law, and no one is above the law, not the police, not the security services, no one. And so there is an independent external investigation underway as to those charges. We don't have a situation in Israel where the police investigate themselves. And if there was wrongdoing, we can't jump the gun, but if there was wrongdoing, if the video is in fact genuine and we see police officers beating up a handcuffed suspect, that is totally unacceptable, and there will be a price to be paid. But we have to wait, of course, for the legal process to follow through.
Well, there is a videotape.
Once again. And that videotape is prime evidence in this investigation. But once again, the legal process cannot be, it can't be a kangaroo court. We have to go through the correct legal process. The officers involved have the right to make their defense, and we'll pursue this to the full depth of the law.
What high-level talks do you think are called for at this moment between members of the Palestinian Authority, possible authority figures that are appropriate to speak to? I don't even know who I would put down as a name here in Gaza to keep the lid on this situation here with the Israeli government.
I think we've shown over the last 24 hours how furious we are against fighting racism, against fighting hate crimes, against fighting vigilante violence. I mean, we've arrested these people, and the Prime Minister has used extremely harsh language in describing this phenomena. He says there's no room for such behavior in our society, no room whatsoever. And he says murder is murder. It doesn't matter who is the perpetrator or who is the victim. Murder is murder. Terrorism is terrorism. We will not tolerate that. I think it's time that the Palestinian side came forth with a similar statement. We'd like to hear from them an unequivocal condemnation of the murders of the Jewish teens. We'd like to hear an end to the calls for violence and rioting. Ultimately, Israel's a democracy. Everyone can have an opinion. Everyone can debate. But you can't have a situation where people are throwing stones and Molotov cocktails at motorists.
I hear what you're saying. And, you know, I've spent a lot of time with the IDF. I've spent a lot of time in your office, Mark. I mean, look around your neighborhood. I mean, time may be running out here a little bit. Are you sure you got the lid on this?
I'm not sure. The neighborhood's going through a particularly violent and tumultuous period. I mean, and this is, I think, important to understand. The killers of the three Israeli teens who were kidnapped and murdered, they are from the Hamas organization. And for want of a better word, and maybe you can think of a better word, Hamas is part of a family of organizations. There's ISIS in Iraq and Syria. There's Hezbollah in Lebanon. There's Boko Haram in Nigeria. You've got a whole bunch of these extremist Islamic groups that basically say that human life is worthless, that they say kidnapping and murder is fine, anything that advances their radical agenda. And it is troubling that we see this upsurge in this sort of extremism throughout the region. And I think all the forces that want peace and stability and moderation have to be embraced, and we have to work together to overcome the extremists.
But is implicit in what you're saying there very eloquently, possibly that the military machine of the IDF might not be a defense against that extremism?
Unfortunately, you have no substitute for the IDF and no substitute for the Israeli police, because the Israeli public is under attack by these vicious terrorists. You know, Hamas says openly, you don't need Mark Regev to say it, Hamas says openly that the Jewish state has no right to exist, not in any borders. Hamas says openly that every Israeli civilian man and woman, and as we saw last week, children as well, are legitimate targets in their war of terror. So we need to defend ourselves in this difficult situation. At the same time, we have to hold out our hand and see, can we find partners, can we find moderates on the other side who disavow the path of the extremists, who disavow and condemn the path of the terrorists, and we can work with them to build a better future.
Well, here's hoping that some high-level talks and something, at least with some symbolic value, can get going in the next 24 to 36 hours. Mark Regev, thanks for speaking with us.
My pleasure, sir.
Mark Regev is spokesman for the Israeli government. He joined us from Tel Aviv. We turn now to Fawaz Jerjez, professor of international relations at the London School of Economics and author of The New Middle East, Protest and Revolution in the Arab World. Fawaz, we've just heard from Mark Regev. He compares Hamas to the other extremist groups like ISIS and Boko Haram. What do you make of that?
It's basically nonsense. Hamas is not either the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. Hamas is not Al-Qaeda. Hamas is an Islamist resistance movement. It has come a long way. It now acknowledges basically that a two-state solution is the only way to go. Hamas is a nationalist religious movement as opposed to being a Salafi jihadist movement. It does not have any global aspirations. Its only aspiration is to basically help bring about liberation and self-determination for the Palestinian people, in particular as it has evolved since 2006.
Although, as we have seen in Iraq and in Syria, there are players who have an interest in fomenting instability, and the instability in Syria begat the instability in Iraq. And there's certainly a lot of people who might love to see a, Aleppo in Haifa.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, if the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu gambles on the fact that the region is imploding, that there are civil wars taking place in Syria and Iraq, that he can maintain occupation as it is, that he can steal Palestinian land, that he can create facts on the ground, I think he lives in Wonderland. The situation is very precarious, very fragile, and unless the Palestinians and the Israelis sit down and find a way to resolve their differences, unless the Israelis begin the process of acknowledging that basically their military occupation of Palestinian land must end, I think the situation could easily spiral out of control and bring about further escalation and all-out war in the region.
Fawaz, we've just heard from Mark Regev. He compares Hamas to the other extremist groups like ISIS and Boko Haram. What do you make of that?
You know, John, I'm surprised you ask me, what can Israel do? President Barack Obama, when he first came to office, made it very clear that the first most important step, basically, for Israel to do is to stop stealing Palestinian land.
Okay, all right. Let's not use inflammatory language here. So if Benjamin Netanyahu said today the settlements have stopped, no more settlements in the West Bank and Gaza, this would be a first step in your view?
Absolutely. An essential step. How do you begin the process of establishing a two-state solution, of giving hope to the Palestinians, convincing the Palestinians that Israel does not create facts on the ground, that there is the possibility of a viable, independent Palestinian state while you build basically settlements on occupied Palestinian territories, both in East Jerusalem and on the West Bank.
All right. So number one, the settlements stop on this particular date and we will begin talks to make that happen. That's number one. What's number two?
Basically, the borders of the Israeli and Palestinian states. This is the second most important step. Israel so far, under the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, has refused to delineate what the borders of Israel are and what the borders of a Palestinian state are. We know what the borders are. The borders of a future Palestinian state is on all of the occupied West Bank and Gaza and occupied East Jerusalem. The entire world, including the United States itself, believes this is the way to go. Two independent, viable, secure states living side by side.
All right. So Fawaz, let's just talk practically here. We know the Israelis aren't going to give a specific full border. They're going to say that really requires negotiation, et cetera. But if it was something like, all right, we'll swap the settlements closest to Tel Aviv for secure borders in the Golan around Nablus and to the south and along the Gaza Strip, that would be a first step as far as you're concerned.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the big point, John, we keep going around the circle here. The reality is, and yes, probably I'm using direct, blunt language, while Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu pays lip service to a two-state solution, he has no interest in an independent, viable Palestinian state, as it's seen by the entire world, including the United States of America. I'm not saying anything original here. Ask President Barack Obama, his former Secretary of State, I mean Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry. They would tell you exactly that it's not as the spokesperson of the Israeli government has just said. It's not that the Israelis don't have a partner. The reality is the Palestinians don't have a partner for peace with the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at this particular moment.
Do you think the lid's going to stay on here in the Palestinian territories and in Israel?
You know, I can't tell you, John, how much the Palestinian Authority and Mahmoud Abbas is trying to convince Palestinians in West Bank towns and cities and trying to suppress protests. There's a great deal of anger and restiveness and hopelessness on the part of the Palestinians in West Bank cities and towns, not just Gaza, and even Arab Israelis. And that's why the situation could really easily spiral out of control. We have the making of a third intifada. I hope it does not happen. I hope that President Barack Obama takes the initiative and tries to bring about some calm and quiet and basically beginning the process of building a two-state solution in what we call Israel-Palestine.
Fawaz Jerjes, professor of international relations at the London School of Economics, author of The New Middle East, Protest and Revolution in the Arab World. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, John.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.